Everybody, I hope you're doing amazing. I recently put out a video on TikTok about my 2 weeks off and, well, my 2 weeks off from medication, basically. So I really should have hit record when I was actually set up and ready to talk. I posted on TikTok about my 2 weeks off and my mental health break and why I took that time off and away from the medication. I am going to turn down the gain on my microphone ever so slightly. Look at that. There we go. I got a lot of questions on that. I was not expecting it to get, at the moment, 160,000 views and 10,000 likes and I think 2,500 comments. A lot of questions, a lot of people saying, holy shit, this describes me. This is my life. This is me at the moment. Holy crap. There's a lot of realizations happening in the comment section, which is what I'm all about. I've also got a lot of frequently asked questions. My inbox has been pretty bananas. It's been absolute fucking Gwen Stefani up in here. And a lot of the questions have been the same in terms of like, what medication am I on? Have I tried any others? Was I on medication before this one? What did I do to basically get through life and to get to here? Because when I was off the medication, when I took that 2 weeks off, yes, my symptoms were a hell of a lot worse. I was more anxious. I was like the food noise increased like all hell. But I don't remember it being that bad. And the reason being is because I've been taking medication for 7.5 months that's basically been getting rid of all that. It's gotten rid of all of the food noise and everything in my head, basically. So a lot of my strategies, coping mechanisms, and everything that I teach my clients that aren't medicated or maybe just need to have a better routine, structure, schedule in their life, regardless of if someone's on medication, sorry, if someone is ADHD or not, I find that a lot of these things typically help with everyone, but I find that they especially help with people that have ADHD. So I figured I'm just going to do a podcast. I've got all of the questions down that have basically been blowing up my inbox since I posted this video. A few people have been over on Instagram as well, which has been amazing. For everyone that comes over from TikTok to Instagram, thank you so much, because I know on TikTok I get like 200 views and then a random thing can blow up like this. And then it's like, oh, okay, I'm back to enjoying TikTok again. This is fucking amazing. But over on Instagram, when I post stories, I am loving Instagram stories at the moment and just honestly shit talking, just posting anything that I want, because a lot more people are engaging on Instagram stories. They'd be like, yep, sweet. They react, they give me an emoji, but then they actually send me a message and they say, oh my God, this is me, or how do you do this? I don't know why, but more people are asking questions in my Instagram stories than typically in TikTok comments, which is crazy, except for obviously this video that I'm talking about right now, because it's going Gwen Stefani. And I figured I would just do this frequently asked questions about this ADHD quote unquote journey that I'm on. I don't even think it's a journey, it's just my life at the moment. So it seems to be helping a lot of people out there. So I figured, why the fuck not? I'm going to run through the frequently asked questions. I've got them all written down here. And then at the end of, once I've gone through these frequently asked questions, I also have like, what do you do about those symptoms? Or if you don't have medication, or some people in the comments can't afford the diagnosis, or they're not close enough to be able to get the medication or the diagnosis. If you don't have access to any of that, these are the things which I'll run through towards the end of the podcast. These are the things that I'll run through that have helped me with pre-medication, that help my clients that are currently unmedicated and they're waiting for a diagnosis, and people that either have the medication but still don't know how to life, basically. They don't know how to keep their nutrition simple. They don't have a lot of, and I mean this in the most loving way possible, there's no education or literacy around nutrition, because when the fuck were you ever taught that? Maybe in year 7? Maybe. But as an adult, what does your nutrition, your routine, your lifestyle, what does all of that look like? Because a lot of people have had most of their life scheduled out and routine for them in terms of go to school, maybe have a gap year, go to university, start working full time. And by the time that they're 27, 28, 29, they've finished this massive structure of their life. And now they go, oh, I'm just working full time and I've got this money. What do I do? I've got the money to get Uber Eats whenever I want, or to eat out whenever I want, but I've never been good in the kitchen. How do I eat stuff that's nutritionally healthy? Because I can't make all this shit that all these Instagram influencers are like, here is my super easy 27 ingredient recipe that I'm going to do. It only takes you 20 minutes of prep time and 3 hours of baking. Let's get into it, lovelies. I'm like, fucking no. I'm the most basic bitch in the world. For most of my meals, I either have like a parma or a burger with chips, and then figure out how do I put the salads and all the micronutrients and the quote unquote healthy things in there. Everything I do is simple as fuck. It doesn't mean that it's easy, because a lot of us are going to have different brain chemistries, which is going to make it super fun to put all these in. But in terms of what I'm talking about and how I coach people and the reason I made Simply Happy and Healthy, 25% off at the moment with code something. What is it? Launch25? There we go. I just realized by the time you're hearing this, that's not going to matter because we would have started. People that are live on TikTok, that's probably going to matter more. But anyway, that's why I did create Simply Happy Healthy. It's why I talk about what I talk about. It's also my coaching philosophy to keep everything super simple, to not give you a templated meal plan, unlimited HIIT sessions, to give you everything you've already done before that never really fucking worked, except with the accountability that you had of meeting someone at the gym or, hey, we're going to have a call every week, you have to be on this, and the extra accountability that comes with that. Sweet, that works for those people. But it only works as a band-aid effect for 4, 6, 8 weeks, as long as you can basically hold on. And then once you've lost the weight, you go back to doing what you were doing and the food noise increases because there's no accountability to say, you have to be eating this, you should be doing this. So yeah, Simply Happy Healthy and just my coaching in general is more, this is how we live. This is how we keep life super simple. Decrease the food noise. You're not waking up thinking about where your next meal is going to be coming from. It's just going to make it so fucking straightforward that a lot of my clients, they get to the end of the program and they go, what do I do now? Like, I don't feel like I've done enough. It's like, sweet. That's how it should feel. You don't wake up every day and go, right, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be difficult. No. Why would anyone want to wake up like that? You're going to go through seasons in life where it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. But just living your life shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be, I mean, it may be difficult, but it doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to be spending all of your time thinking about food. Where is your next meal going to be coming from? Are you hungry? Are you actually just bored? Are you thirsty? All these different things. You can just boil it down into one question and keep it simple so you can actually focus on what the fuck you want to focus on. Spend more time with family and friends and be more present and just do shit that you enjoy. Rant over. Let's get into these frequently asked questions. So these are in no particular order, by the way. So I'm just going to read out the question and then obviously give my honest opinion on it all. Keeping in mind, I'm just a dude. This actually kind of helps that personal trainer, nutrition, and health coach. Mindset is my biggest thing that I specialize in for people that are new to the podcast. I want to put that out there as just a asterisk. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not a therapist. I'm not any of that shit. I'm just a dude that has been on this, who is a personal trainer and helps people basically simplify their life in terms of movement, nutrition, and also not hating themselves and starting to talk to themselves with a bit of fucking grace, with a bit of positivity to overcome depression and anxiety, because that's what I've done. It's basically, how do you do what I do? First question is, what medication am I on? I am on Vyvanse. Have I tried any others? That's the other one. I did try, I think it was Ritalin, and I can't remember if that was the one. It was. It had boosters in the afternoon, and I really didn't like the boosters because I have an addictive personality, and I loved the energy that I got from it. The thing that I really didn't like about Ritalin was with the boost, I'm pretty sure it was Ritalin. It might have been Concerta, I'm pretty sure it was Ritalin, because he said, if you don't like the short burst, we can go to Concerta, which has a longer release. So it must have been Ritalin. The reason I didn't like Ritalin was because it felt like I was snorting copious amounts of Scarface's favorite powder. And it would last for 4 or 5 hours. So I would take it at about 8 in the morning when I would have breakfast, and it would be like I was shot out of a fucking cannon. I would be doing anything and everything and trying to multitask, and I was actually focusing on all the things all at once and getting heaps done. But it also felt like I was kind of scattered. It felt like my heart rate went through the roof. It felt like, I don't think it did, because I actually like found my pulse, measured it, timed it, and it was the exact same as when I'm on Vyvanse, which my resting heart rate is about 60, 64. And when I'm on Vyvanse, my resting heart rate is about 75, 78, something like that, about just below 80, and which I'm completely fine with. My blood pressure, I got that tested as well. That was perfectly fine. No medication, and then on medication, it was the exact same. So there's no issues there. Just my heart rate got elevated a little bit while I'm on Vyvanse. But for Ritalin, I didn't like the fact that I had to take it once in the morning and then in the afternoon, because sometimes I felt really good in the afternoon and I would just be like, I'll just keep going and I would forget to take my afternoon booster, which meant at about 2-3 o'clock, I would start to crash like all fuck. I was out drinking all night and then the hangover just hit me instantly. I didn't go to bed and then wake up. It was like over the next 30 minutes, I would just start to have like a hangover. I'd be like, shut up, everyone stop yelling. Why are you breathing so loud? And my dog would be in the fucking lounge room and be like, stop breathing so loud. I didn't like the addictive personality that I have in relation to that medication, because I could feel when it started to wear off, I was like, oh, like I'm starting to calm down, but I really want to get this done. Should I take another one? And I started to basically talk myself into have more, have more, have more. And I didn't like that. I also didn't like the feeling that it felt like I'd snorted fucking racks for days and days and days. And I cut the medication down and that helped a little bit. But then I also felt, because I was so scattered and because I had all this energy, when I had nothing to do, I needed to use that energy. I couldn't just stop or do something else or like slow myself down into doing other tasks like I can at the moment on Vyvanse. I had to do something or else I would explode. And I didn't like that. That was for me. A lot of people, I've spoken to people and clients that are on Ritalin, and they love it. They prefer that. I liked Vyvanse because it had a slower release. I was on Vyvanse, then went to Ritalin, and then decided myself to go back onto Vyvanse because I didn't like the side effects of Ritalin. And oddly enough, in the next, I think in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, I actually have my review for my medication with my psychiatrist. So Vyvanse for me was a lot slower release. It takes about 90 minutes. I feel it after about 45 minutes, like starting to kick in. I'm like, oh, holy shit. I've been focusing on this D&D character sheet for fucking ages. All right. I should probably brush my teeth, have a shower, do whatever, get ready for work and go and do that. Because I wake up, go to the gym, do all my shit, come home, have breakfast, and then take medication with that, wait for it to kick in. And then I basically get ready for work. And here we are. And it lasts until 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. It honestly depends. If I, for example, this morning, this is completely random, but this morning I had a fair amount of blueberries. Blueberries have high amounts of vitamin C, and vitamin C can inhibit the absorption of Vyvanse and some medications, because vitamin C, obviously the ascorbic acid. And it may not hit me as hard today, but it's still giving me the baseline, just like enough to be able to get into doing work and doing what I need to. I'm feeling good. Everything is normal. I'm not saying you can never have blueberries again, because it's been recommended to not take things with vitamin C within 2 hours either side of taking your medication. So if I take it at 8 a.m., I'm not going to have vitamin C from 6 to 10 a.m. After that, go for your life, do whatever, because it's already absorbed into my bloodstream. Doesn't fucking matter. And that happened for a client of mine. He felt like his medication wasn't working and he was on 60 milligrams of Vyvanse. And I was like, what are you having for breakfast? He was hitting calories, he was hitting macros, he was doing everything. And for breakfast, he was having the quote unquote typical or stereotypical super healthy breakfast. It was oats, cinnamon. It was like a cup of mixed berries, I think, or primarily blueberries, because he hated the fucking big strawberries, which I completely get. And I think a banana as well or something else. There was something else in there that had a bit of vitamin C. And all we did was basically say, have that, but like have your normal breakfast, but put it later in the day when you feel like you need a snack, or just before lunch or at 11, whatever, because he would wake up and have his medication at 6:30, 7 o'clock. So I said at 10 o'clock, then have the oats and blueberries and things. So it's not going to worry about, or it's not going to matter as much with the absorption of the medication. Give that a go. And then just for this, try something different for breakfast. And he just had a protein shake with some oats minus the blueberries and stuff. He just had basically a 250, 300 cal breakfast, which for him was rather low. He was having 550 to 600. We just had that, something with decent protein in it, so that it took a while to absorb. He could stay fuller for longer, but it also helps with the carbs and the protein in there for the absorption of that medication. For the next month that we did that, he was super productive. He was on top of it. He booked therapy appointments. And I was like, hey, what happened? When we spoke like 4 days later on our coaching call, It's like, what happened? How's it gone? And he goes, I'm sleeping amazingly. I can actually read a book. I've done all this planning. It was as if he'd started taking medication for the first time again. And he'd been trying to be healthy this entire time, which he was doing the healthy things, but it just wasn't working in a way that worked for him. So if I looked at it on paper, bro, this is amazing. Why is this not working? And if I wanted to be bro coach about it, I could just go, oh, well, there's something wrong, or he's obviously not, or he's obviously like lying or something like that. It's not the case at all. It was simply something wasn't working for him. And we switched up one thing, which led to a fucking mountain of results over the next 1, 2, 3 months. And it was awesome. And life got a bit easier for him. And that's what I want for everyone. So can't remember where I was, but I think that's it. What medication am I on? Vyvanse, have I tried any others? Yes, that was a Ritalin. Was I on any medication before starting ADHD meds? My doctor advised that I start Lexapro for my anxiety, and I didn't take it. The reason I didn't take it, again, this is me, my opinion, my personal experience, so fucking deal with it for a second, all right? I'm not telling you this is what you should do, but this is what I wanted to do. So I went to my doctor to get a mental health plan for, to go back to therapy, basically, and I needed that mental health plan to be able to get the referral to go see him. When I was there, he was like, all right, here's your script for it, and also take Lexapro because your anxiety is like peaking like all fuck. And I was like, yep, no worries. And I looked up, does Lexapro affect anything with Vyvanse? Can you take them at the same time? What are the side effects of both? And overall, there wasn't much that it was like, yes, they're safe to take together. The biggest thing that you may notice in some people, so again, it was like, do it and find out, but most likely not going to happen. But the biggest thing for me was it said it may affect energy levels in you feeling more like down, relaxed, lethargic. It can counteract it in that way. And I like my energy. I like going to the gym. I like building my energy there and then coming home. And then when I'm on the medication, cool, that feels fine. But I was noticing I was getting really anxious about something in particular. So instead of taking the medication for Lexapro, I went to the therapist and basically talked everything out, spoke it all out. And across the next like 2, 3 months, instead of taking anxiety medication, I started basically changing what I focus on. I started changing my perspective. I started focusing on things that I wanted to focus on because based on what my therapist was telling me, it was all going to work out. It was all going to be this. And then obviously there was a lot deeper than that. But we spoke through a lot of things and I didn't feel the need for Lexapro or anti-anxiety medication anymore. And some of the thoughts are still there, but they're nowhere near as big. Plus the 2-week break that I had reinforced everything that the therapist was telling me. And that mental health break was fucking amazing, which is why I'm really enjoying Instagram stories at the moment, because I've realized that communicating to people is really what I need. And if I'm just posting shit on TikTok and being like, oh, I need this result from this video so we can make money and we can stay in business and so we don't lose the house if we don't do whatever, that's where my thought process was going. But when I started doing things that I just want to do and I enjoy and I don't worry about the metrics, things actually end up working out. And I just started posting everything that was on my mind on Instagram stories. And I've started having more conversations with people. And there's people I've not spoken to before, but they're through Instagram stories and we're making more of a connection to be like, hey, do this. And I'm actually giving advice out on Instagram as well because my inbox is something. My God, what is the word I'm looking for? My inbox is more manageable on Instagram than it is TikTok, but then also on TikTok, 90% of the people that reach out are always just like, what is this? What is this? The 10% of people that reach out and have manners, my God, I'm going to answer everything for you because I respect manners. I fucking love that. There have been a few people that have been like, what medication are you on? Can you do this? What's your price? And I'm like, just like, I'm still a person. How do you see a video of someone being like, hey, this is my experience and what I went through, and then go, just give me this? No, you're not going to work with me because I don't want to work with you. Because, yeah, don't know manners. But anywho, maybe you do, and there's just something on the other end that, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, what about this? Maybe you feel super connected that you're like, hey, what medication you want? Maybe you feel that connected that you feel like you can do that. And in that case, I apologize. But for me, accepting that on Instagram, people are a lot more polite, I'm going to say. And TikTok comments amazing. People that are already here and they know the fitness genie, they know me, they know my journey, they know basically who I am. Those people are my fucking jam. I'm going to help everyone and everyone. But on Instagram, it just seems to come across with people that have more manners and more polite. They're asking about stuff and they're genuine people. Not to say you're not genuine on TikTok. I know you're all here. But the other thing is the 10% of people that are in my inbox on TikTok are like, hey, sorry to bother you. I was just wondering if you could answer this question for me. If it's too personal, don't worry about it. I'll answer everything. In that case, manners are there. Hey, I don't want to be rude or anything. You can tell me to fuck off if you want to. I'm never going to. But I was just really curious about this because I feel like it would help me. In that case, yes, I'm going to do everything I can to help you. And I seem to get more of those type of people on Instagram, which is why I like the Instagram stories. Anyway. Was meant to be taking anti-anxiety meds, but decided not to because I feel like I could talk things out. And it turns out I did. One realization for people, this is not a question, but just something I feel like I should chuck out there. Some women's menstrual cycles can inhibit the effects of ADHD medications around their period. It's often a couple days before and during their period. This was something someone in the TikTok comments said the week like before my period or the week of my period, it feels like the medication does nothing. And I put up a video responding to that saying that I have a fair few clients that feel the same. And then more people started resonating with that and they go, holy fuck, I didn't realize that. So yes, I'm just going to chuck it out there. I have a lot of clients, and then based on the TikTok comments as well, there's a lot of people out there that in that week of their period, there's a few days before and then the week of their period, because of the hormone fluctuations, I don't know exactly how it's working, but I'm going to assume because hormones just go to baseline, they go to, not to zero, but they decrease like all hell in the lead up to your period in that late luteal phase, which is the last week before you're going to have that bleed or before your period. The hormones dip like all hell. And then when you're basically day one, the first day of your bleed, that is where your hormones are at their sort of like baseline zero. And obviously if you're a woman, you're going to have on average with the research that we have a 28 day menstrual cycle. Again, I've worked with clients that have a cycle anywhere between like 11 days and 74 days. It's unique. So bear that in mind that if I say 28 days, that doesn't mean that you're weird or anything like that. It just means that that's the research that we have at the moment. So yeah, that couple days before the period, my God, I'm trying to catch myself up on my own speech. A couple days before their period and then also for the week of their period until the hormones start to like increase and go back up in the lead up to ovulation. Basically, you get out of that first week of your period and you end up from day eight onwards is where the medication starts to kick in again. I'm going to assume, I don't know this, please look this up, can talk to your doctor, your psychiatrist, your someone who is smarter than me person. I would assume it's because the hormones level out like all fuck when you're in your period, when you're having your period. And that's why the medication doesn't act as much because of the fluctuations that are there. Some people have said they stop taking the medication during that time to give themselves a break because it's not working anyway. Other people have said their psychiatrist has given them boosters for that week of where they just take that medication and then if they feel like it's not working, have a booster as well. And there's a lot of different methods I'm hearing for how people go about it. The most important thing that I've given to clients for people that don't want to take the boosters or the medication doesn't work during that week is to basically do what I do. I'm going to allude to this at the end of the program, at the end of the podcast is what I'm trying to say. At the end of the podcast, where I'm going to run through everything, but stick to the mechanisms, the habits, the routines, the schedules that we have, even though your brain is going to be fighting you, even though it's going to be very difficult to want to stick to it, you just go, no, I'm not doing that because I have breakfast at this time. Well, this is my normal breakfast. And some people are going to be worse than others in the sense of, this is my breakfast. Yes, but I fucking hate it because now I've got sensory issues and I hate all of this. And what if I have too many carbs and there's going to be a massive anxiety spiral? Bring yourself back to center, particularly the people that have worked with me or are working with me. The one thing that I say is if you don't trust yourself or your belief systems or your thought patterns, trust me. Because if I don't get you results, then one, I can give you your money back. You can request that for me. Two, you're not going to refer anyone to me. You're not going to talk about me. You're not going to be like, oh my God, Trav was the best coach in the fucking world. He didn't get me any results. But, you know, sign up with him because I feel bad if I don't say that. It's my job to get your results because then we both win. So it is in my best interest to do the thing that is in your best interest. And if that means telling you the hard truth to be like, hey, this is what we need to do because ABC, or just say, it's too bad, we're going to have to do this, or go the complete opposite end of the spectrum, complete empathy. Hey, take this week off. Don't worry about anything. Just zone out. Don't worry about tracking calories. Just do whatever you want to. Focus on your mental and emotional health, and we can come back into it next week. I'll just message you through the week and just see how you're going and touch base. We can do that as well. If it's in your best interest, it's then in my best interest, because A, I'd like to think I'm a good person, and that's just what good people will do. They will help other people if they have the ability to. As long as I don't get taken advantage or I get taken advantage of, or I'm not sacrificing time with my partner or my life, basically, if it doesn't break my boundaries that I've put in place to be able to protect me, because I didn't have them fucking ages ago and I lost a business, so I'm not doing that anymore. So if it fits within my boundaries and I'm going to help you, I'll do everything in my power to help that person. And 3 or 4, whatever number we're up to, it's also going to be in the best interest of my business, because if I get you world-class results and change your life, people are obviously going to be like, oh my God, what have you done? How did you do this? You know, I signed up with a coach. This is him. This is what we've done. And you're going to talk about me. You're going to refer me to people. And then maybe one more person will sign up, which means that's one person I didn't have coming through before because I just did my job and was a good person and got your results, if that makes sense. I hope it does. So yeah, that's why I do what I do, I guess. Different ways to get the results that you want. Why did I take 2 weeks off from my medication? I needed a mental health break. I'll keep this one super short. I needed a mental health break. My therapist basically demanded it of me. And this was going to coincide with the school holidays. And Beth gets those 2 weeks off as well. And we can spend time together. It's always winter, which fucking sucks. But the break was coming up. I needed a mental health break because I was so stressed and tired and overworked building Simply Happy and Healthy. It took me 5 months. And for the first 2 months, I was like, this is going amazing. Everything's on schedule. And then I watched back some of the videos and I went, I hate them. They look so low budget. I'm talking about stuff that doesn't even matter. I filmed, I think, like 6-7 videos and I hated all of them. And I went, if I was paying like $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 for this, would I be happy with what I got? And the program is not $5,000 or $2,000. But I said, if I was paying $5,000 for this, would I be happy with the quality of the program that it is at the moment? And I immediately went, fuck no, I wouldn't. So then I said, okay, what does that look like then? And I started again because it wasn't good enough. It didn't live up to my standards of what I wanted to get people learning or what I wanted people to pay for. And I started again and I scrapped it all, which meant I had to do some, I had to do late nights. I had to do weekend work again, going back to all of that, but it worked out and I hit the deadline and I just didn't feel comfortable people paying money for something that I wouldn't pay for myself. And whenever I say this, because at the moment the program is $999 for the entire 10 weeks that we're doing, it's eventually going to turn into my membership site where people can come on board and basically just have me as their coach in a group setting. And then also through just messages as well on Discord, I can leave voice notes and basically just personally, I just did the fucking Drake ring then. Jesus, don't want to do that. I don't want to go to prison. Basically just becoming your personal coach, but we also have group calls and a membership site, which is going to be the program that it is at the moment. It's going to run you through the entire process of, if you do these, fantastic. And I'm going to keep you on board as well. It's eventually Simply Happy Healthy. It's going to turn into my membership where people can just join whenever they want. But for right now, I'm only running it as a 10-week program because I want to see what's good and what's bad. And with that in mind, I really needed it to be up to standards because I'm not going to fucking film it twice. Cannot be bothered. Well, I am because apparently it wasn't good enough the first time, but now it's good. So with that in mind, God, I just scratched my head and then my hair just went really weird. And then I was like, oh my God, what a weird fucking hairline, Travis. So yeah, apparently medication's not working at all. So yes, I took the 2 weeks off because I was so fucking drained from doing that and from building all of that. And taking the 2 week break, I decided I don't need to focus on anything. I'm not going to work. And if I don't take my medication, it's going to be very hard for me to be able to get into workflow. And this 2 weeks knowing me, I'm going to try and work and push through because I don't have client calls. I can do whatever I want. So it was a hard force for me to not take the medication because then I wouldn't be able to focus and do my work anyway, which it would force me into doing something else like playing video games or going to the gym or doing whatever I wanted to. Plus my psych said my ADHD is more than likely moderate and mild, which means I can still function. I can still do things. I procrastinate like all fuck when I'm not on medication. It's like, yep, I'm going to do this thing. 5 hours later of doom scrolling, I go, well, that didn't work, did it? And yeah, I would do one thing for that day. And if I did that, I'd be like, oh, fantastic. I also had that, I can't remember what it's called, but like the waiting paralysis or the appointment paralysis, where if I had something at 4 o'clock, I would sit in my chair and do absolutely nothing because I'm like, oh, I can't do anything. I've got this at 4 o'clock. And I would just cancel the entire day in the morning, or I would try and work as much as I can to get done. But if it was something I didn't enjoy, no chance it was getting done. So then I'd have my meeting and I'd be like, oof, I've done a lot of work today. I've did, you know, fucking 10 hours here. It wasn't 10 hours. It was 1 hour. And the first 9 hours were me sitting here scrolling through, doing literally fucking nothing just to get to that point. So I took the medication off during my 2 week break because I didn't need to focus. I had the, as my psych said, mild to moderate symptoms, which means I can still function. I can still choose things that I want to do. Yes, the food noise went up like all hell. Anxiety went up like all hell. But it doesn't make my life worse. It makes my work worse because I can't do work, but I wasn't doing work. So I'm in a fortunate position where I can take breaks from my medication if I don't need to have hardcore focus and efficiency through the day to basically work like a quote-unquote normal person, whatever that looks like. And since being back, obviously, purpose, intention, focus, everything is up. Like, not from medication I'm talking about, focus from the medication is, but everything just in general is up because I've had that break and I've been able to focus on, if you didn't listen to the podcast last week, which will come out, I suppose, tomorrow for people that are live on TikTok. If you didn't listen to the podcast last week, it was basically how to get back on track from time off, how to give yourself clarity. If you're not sure of what you're doing, if you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, bring yourself back to yourself and find out what your clarity is. Focus on one thing. Don't give yourself a to-do list because they fucking suck. But if you want to, give yourself that to-do list and then choose one or two things that you can tick off to put on an achievement list. Don't look at the to-do list because then you'll just look at everything you haven't done, because we're humans. We're designed to be able to look at the things that are wrong or that are going to potentially cause harm. We want to stay safe. And if you're anxious, you're already leaning into that. So don't have a to-do list because you'll tick off two things and you'll be like, yep, I'm going to do these two things and my day is going to be amazing. You won't look at the two things. You'll look at the 98 that hasn't been done. So if you have an achievement list, you can write down, this is what I did today, massive tick. This is what I did today, massive tick. Those two things are done. You can go, sweet, love it. Giving yourself the clarity over what needs to be done at a high priority. Go listen to the podcast because it's fucking amazing. And probably a bit biased, but most of them are starting to really hit hard because I'm basically just taking coaching call. What am I trying to say? I'm taking conversations from coaching client calls, all the cuz, and I'm putting them into a podcast. Because last week, first week back, everyone was struggling. There was like two clients that I had that were like, I'm back into it. It's all good. I'm amazing. Everyone else was, I'm struggling. I don't know how I lost the routine. I'm not sure how to get back. It feels like there's so much to focus on. What I told them, I basically packaged all of that and put it into this podcast, which is whatever last week's podcast was. Go listen to that. I think it's 156. I don't know what number we're up to. 157. 150 something. Go listen. How to find your clarity. Should everyone take medication breaks? Was another frequently asked question. Was, should I be taking time off from my medication? No, because I don't know you. I don't know what your psych has recommended. My psych for me said not to take the medication every day, but only when I need that intense focus, because I wasn't up the massive end of the spectrum where it was like, you can't live your life without this medication. I still can live my life. Yes, so I don't take it Saturday, Sunday, usually. The Sunday where I wake up, the first day from not having medication, it feels like I'm super hungover. And I still function and everything. And after like 2 hours, I come back to being my normal self. But I'm a little bit giggly and I'm a little bit spaced out. But then after 2-3 hours and I've woken up and I've done something, I'm back to normal baseline Trav without heaps of focus. He also said, we don't want you to become, not addicted, we don't want you to become used to this dosage effect. So if I'm on 30 milligrams at the moment. If I take 30 milligrams forever, every single day, said there's a possibility that I'm going to get used to the effect of 30 milligrams and it's not going to start working as much because my baseline is going to rise. That means I'm going to have to increase to 40 milligrams to get the same effect that 30 gave me. And then when I get used to the 40, we'll have to do the same thing at 50. And then we'll eventually just have to, I hate this word, but detox and come off it so that we can get that sensitivity to it again. It made perfect sense to me because I say the exact same thing to clients about fat burners, pre-workouts, all of those things. If you are using fat burners and pre-workouts that have stupid amounts of caffeine in them and other chemicals as well, everything is a fucking chemical, so I'm not saying chemicals are bad, but they have other cognitive enhancers and focus or nootropic effects to get you through the day. If you cannot function without those things on any given day, then you have become reliant on it and it's something that we don't want to do. Something that we want to get away from because then you're becoming trapped. If you go on holiday, for example, you're going to feel like shit because you'll have caffeine withdrawals and then you'll spend all your holiday yelling at people and being annoyed and agitated because you're coming down off caffeine withdrawals, even though you'll probably have like 5-6 coffees during that day. Plus, it can also save you a bunch of money because fat burners and pre-workouts, they work out to be about $80 to $120 a month if you take them based on their servings. Which I wouldn't. OxyShred is the most popular one out there, and that says to have one upon waking up and 30 minutes before training. Obviously, if you're training in the morning, you'll just have one in the morning, but some people just double scoop it, and the instructions on there are just... It's way too much. Which is why a lot of people can feel nauseous or sick, or they're not a breakfast person, because they're having way too much caffeine in the morning. Because they wake up, I'm tired. I need to wake up. What do? Have coffee. The caffeine acts as a diuretic. So it's obviously going to purge everything from your body. It relaxes the sphincters, everyone's favorite word. It relaxes the sphincters in your body, which means that you can feel sick or anxious. And particularly you've got the coffee poos. That's not great. But then you've also got the sphincters relaxing, which means you may get some heartburn. You may get nauseous because anything that would then go into the stomach is having to fight with the, oh, sweet, something's here. Get it the fuck out. And if you've been doing that over a long period of time and you're already a naturally anxious person and you're giving yourself something that's going to make you more anxious and increase your heart rate, yeah, you're probably going to just be in fight and flight mode for a long period of time until you crash off the caffeine about lunchtime. Then you go, okay, I think I can have something light now. That's why most people believe that they're not breakfast people, because they've just been smashing heaps of caffeine that... they don't know how to digest food. Their body's just like, sweet, we're waking up. Let's get rid of everything again. Talk to your psych or your doctor or whoever it is that gives you your medication, or I'm assuming it's going to be your psychiatrist. Talk to them about, should I incorporate breaks? My psych calls them holidays, or time off from the medication, or what are the benefits of it, or should I do it? Talk to your psych. Don't talk to me about if you should take breaks. Should you take breaks from pre-workouts and fat burners? Yes, absolutely you should. Do I drink coffee? No. If you're on ADHD medication, it's advised not to drink coffee or alcohol because they are stimulants and depressants. And this medication is to get you to baseline for where you quote unquote should be based on your brain chemistry. That's why the dosages are very different. You don't want to have something that gets you up to baseline and then also stimulates you past that or decreases you below your baseline. If you can avoid them, fantastic. That's what we want to do. I also felt like I didn't need caffeine or fat burners or pre-workouts once I started taking medication. My workouts, I started doing this because I didn't want to become dependent on caffeine. This was pre-medication. I started working out first thing in the morning and I couldn't take that massive pre-workout fat burner because it basically just emptied me and made me feel like shit. I couldn't have breakfast. I couldn't hit my calories, protein, macros, anything. So I decided to do my workouts without pre-workout or fat burners. Then I started doing cardio in the morning and that worked out really well for me. That woke me up. It gave me a similar vibe. Listened to music. I used more natural methods to be able to give me a similar pump or focus during the workout. Because as I said to a client, and I think I said it on TikTok as well, it's crazy how when I was off medication, I'm trying to remember now, it's crazy how when I was off medication, doing a workout, like an intense workout, felt like microdosing my medication. Because the heart rate was up, it gave me the focus, it basically, the exercise or the regular exercise, it releases the endorphins, it makes your brain happy. And regular exercise is one of the best natural things that you can do for ADHD symptoms, as well as, I suppose we're getting into the FAQ, because that's where I'm up to. Oh, sorry, the problem solving part. Regular exercise, amazing. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes in your room with a kettlebell, or even just stretching or doing yoga, or go on YouTube and just put your phone against the wall and do something for 10 minutes. You could just do a continuous circuit for that 10 minutes, get the heart rate up, because that's what we're looking to do, is to get you moving, exercising, increase the heart rate, focus on something, stress the muscles in the sense of stretching them and let them come back. Let them do what they're going to do and what the whole thing that is holding you together, do what its purpose is meant to do, which is to move and flex and extend and contract. And that's what we're looking to do. If you can basically aid your body in its natural purpose of movement, fantastic. Your brain isn't going to fight you. It also decreases your anxiety symptoms, regular exercise does, because it's getting your heart rate up. It's, so does coffee, but it decreases cortisol through exercise, which is your stress hormone. And when you're not stressed, you're less likely to be anxious. And if you don't have that physical energy to be expressed, you're probably going to have that energy in your brain and start spiraling mentally. Which is why when a lot of people go to the gym, they've expressed that physical energy, but people who don't express that physical energy, it gets internalized and we hold on to it. And then that's where we feel anxious because we haven't really done anything for the day, but we've got to use this energy. And the reason that that works is because your brain is also an organ that uses calories. It uses glucose, which is why people that have a more mentally demanding job, they're going to seek out carbs, sugar, snacks during the day, because their brain is actively using the glucose to be able to process everything that is happening during the day. So that's why that happens. High protein, just so you can feel fuller for longer and to help build the muscles and repair them and do everything they're going to do. The, not just from an external standpoint of, I suppose, feeling fuller for longer, that's internal, but building muscle and doing all those things. Protein typically gets associated with bodybuilders because obviously they have to build as much muscle as possible, and we call it the building blocks of life. It's not the building block of muscle, it's the building block of life. There are three, God, I think I'm wrong on this, but there's 3.2 trillion cells in your body on average. Every single one of them uses a broken down form of protein, which is called an amino acid. The protein that you're consuming, if you get enough of it, it's going to break down into essential amino acids or branched chain amino acids or non-essential amino acids. You're going to get a whole bunch of them. Obviously, it depends on your diet, but you're going to cover the majority of amino acids that we need that help form cell walls, that basically take care of your brain chemistry, that help everything internally process and do and build. So it's not, protein is not just building muscle. It's building your cells, your organs, your fucking literally everything, even though organs are muscles. It's building everything in your body. As soon as you breathe in and out, as soon as you have to process something or digest something or move something along your digestion tract, the amino acids are going to be amazing for that. Protein is going to be amazing for that, which is why everyone preaches, well, everyone that I suppose does nutrition doesn't just want you to buy their fucking book or supplements or anything. They're going to preach a balanced diet, high protein, balanced diet, because we need the fats for your immune system. We need the fats for, they can help out with cholesterol. We need the carbs to be able to help with brain activity, to be able to help with energy, to be able to help with literally fucking everything, to deliver the protein to the muscles. Everything works with itself, which is why we have been given teeth that are made for pulling apart meat, but then also grinding vegetables down. We've literally evolved into eating both of these, herbivore, carnivore, omnivore. That is what we are. So why would we stick to one or the other? Obviously, there's carnivore diets if you're doing like autoimmune diseases, but in terms of being healthy, shit. Paul Saladino has like credit to him for changing his mind and changing his Instagram and TikTok handle from CarnivoreMD to now Paul Saladino. Because he realized after doing carnivore for ages, but this is why he doesn't get my sympathy, He did carnivore for ages, wrote a book on it, and popularized carnivore as like the thing for optimal human health. And he always had his shirt off and was always doing these things. He started noticing ill effects of doing carnivore for long periods of time and being in keto for long periods of time. He felt those ill effects while writing and publishing the book. So he kept doing all the things to make more money. Credit to him, he's changed his mind now and he's saying most people shouldn't be on carnivore long periods of time. You can do it for bursts, but yeah, autoimmune disease. We're not doing all these different diets just to look a particular way because they all do a fucking same thing. I'm going to go on a rant, but I'm not going to let that happen. We're here for ADHD. A lot of people, as I get back onto this thing, a lot of people didn't realize that binge eating or snacking was related to ADHD symptoms. For myself and my clients, without medication, the food noise gets really loud. The food noise in the sense of there's no stimulation or I'm bored, I need food. With the binge eating, or so first off, it either comes from you trying to self-soothe in terms of eating the food or just snacking in general. It either comes because you're incredibly highly strung / anxious. And when you're anxious, you typically grew up or you have a coping mechanism of let's get food in our system because it gives us dopamine and it makes us feel good. That is the quickest, easiest, most convenient way for you to be able to self-soothe that has a chemical response for you. You consume the food and you feel good, you feel relaxed, you feel all fine. Until about obviously 1 hour later, you feel like shit, you're bloated and you're all these things. But eating all of that food in the moment, you turned your brain off, you focused on something, you were just focusing on the meal. How good does this taste? And your brain is registering the taste of it's super palatable, high calories, and it's super tasty, everything that you've always wanted. When you're anxious or when you're needing to self-soothe or just comfort yourself, you go to food because it gives you the chemical response of relaxing, of feeling safe. Because that's what really we're trying to get. And for people that are not on the other end of the spectrum, but I suppose have a different way of snacking, is they're bored. They're not passionate about what they're doing. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. It's not enough to grab their attention. And this is common when people are working, particularly when people work from home. The pantry and all their snacks and everything they need, the fridge, is all right there, like through the wall, just down the hallway or wherever it is that it's located in your house. And then even if you're at your office, you've typically got like a desk full or a drawer full of snacks because, oh, I just get snacky during the day. Again, if you've got a mentally demanding job, yeah, you're going to get more snacky because your brain's getting tired and it wants more food. The food noise gets loud in the sense of, oh, I'm bored, I must be hungry. So you get up to go do something to fix that issue, even though you don't connect the, because it just happens subconsciously of you getting up. And then when you're in the pantry looking for something, you come out of it almost like, oh, what the fuck am I doing here? It's 10:30. I'm having breakfast soon, or I'm having lunch soon. I'm doing whatever. Slam it shut. You get angry at yourself and then you go back. And then 30 minutes later, you get bored again or something happens or you find yourself doom scrolling. And you're like, fuck, all right, what am I going to do? All right, phone away, everything away. This is what I'm going to do. And you bring up your emails and you go, whom it may concern, as per my previous email. For fuck's sake, really? What is all this? What is this wall of text? Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck that. I'll go grab a snack. I'll come back. And then once that's done, then I can get into it because I'm obviously hungry because I'm getting up that much. And that's what the food noise basically translates into. What's this next thing that I've got? Yeah, it's either trying to self-soothe my anxiety by consuming dopamine hits, or I was bored and needed stimulus, so I looked for sugar and stimulation through food, which is going to help me regulate my central nervous system. So what to do about the food noise? Schedule your meals, plan your meals. For the love of God, do not plan your meals too far in advance because you won't want the food. If you do the food, for example, Sunday, we'll take that as the classic meal prep example. Sunday, you meal prep fucking everything under the sun and you're like, this is my meal set out for the next week. I don't have to think about cooking. It's all there. By the time it hits Wednesday night, you're like, do I really want to heat this up? Do I really want to eat this? And you end up throwing half of it out, or you force yourself to eat something, which then it registers in your brain that this is gross. I don't want this. I could have had a pizza instead. I could have had a kebab instead. And then you're most likely not going to have that food again, particularly if you freeze it and then reheat it. I find that a lot of people that are like me, as soon as it goes in the freezer, it's dead to me. That's it. I'm not going to have it. Because it's frozen, it looks unappetizing, it's not warm, it's not delicious, it's not smoking, it's not all these things. It's like so unappetizing to eat. It's like, what the fuck would I eat that? What I recommend to people is to plan and schedule your meals, but don't cook and prep them. If you want to, be a couple days ahead, be like 3 days ahead, so then you don't have to freeze anything. But for most of my clients, if you plan things out, you go, right, Monday, I'm having burgers. Tuesday, I'm having, I'm just going to use really basic shit, so just bear with me. Tuesday, I'm going to have a parma. Wednesday, I'm going to have a homemade burrito bowl. You can just do that. If you have them for dinner, then let's just say instead of having them, you're going to have them for dinner. Instead of having them for lunch, you'll have them for dinner, I mean. Make enough for dinner that you have it for lunch the next day, because it's still fresh in your mind that when you had it for dinner, that was tasty, that was amazing, that was awesome. It's not frozen, it's just in the fridge, and it's still somewhat fresh. All you have to do is just reheat it, and it's still there, and you still want it. But then for dinner that night on that Tuesday, for example, you're having something different, which is like, oh my God, yes. And then you get to have it for lunch the next day. So realistically, you're only planning breakfast, which most people are completely fine with having the same thing, or like two or three things for breakfast at this, well, through the week. For dinner, you only have to plan what you're doing for dinners, because the leftovers of that are going to act as lunch for the next day. So you don't have to prep it. You don't have to spend hours doing meal prep. You don't have to freeze it all. You don't have to worry about, is it going to be this or is it too much of the same thing? You're only cooking once for dinner, and then you've got it for lunch the next day. So you only have to really cook or prep breakfast and dinner, and then everything else is sorted for the day. I would also take a look at your feeding windows, because a lot of people have breakfast at 7 a.m. They have lunch at 12. There's a 5 hour gap between 7 and 12, which means you have to wait 5 hours for your next meal, which isn't, you know, isn't a long period of time, particularly as you're getting into work, you're getting changed for work, you're getting ready. There's a lot of schedule and routine for the first half of that day. Most people have dinner at about 6 or 7 o'clock, meaning you've got a 6 or 7 hour window that you're having to wait for dinner. That's why most people get hungry at about 3, 4 o'clock. But if you got hungry at 10:30, 11, you'll go, oh, there's only like an hour until lunch. I'll just wait till then. I'll have some water. It's a lot easier to do that. I'm not saying you do that, but it's a lot easier to do that. Whereas if you get hungry at 4 o'clock, you don't go, oh, there's an hour till dinner. You go, fuck, I really have to hold on. You start talking to yourself like you're in fucking Game of Thrones waiting for the wall to come. You're like, you just have to hold on. Winter is coming. We're going to wait. And you have to go through a fucking book. You get to write your memoirs and everything about how you have to hold on for another 2 hours before, at least, before you get dinner, before you get that food. What I tell people is treat yourself either like you're in school, so you get play lunch and then lunch, meaning you have a light lunch at 11, 11:30, and then you have a normal lunch or a slightly bigger lunch at about 2, 3 o'clock. If your job lets you do that and have that flexibility, have 2 half-hour breaks instead of 1 1-hour one, I would highly recommend that, because then you get to have lunch at about 2 o'clock, and then you've only got the classic 4 or 5 hours until you get to dinner. If you don't want to do that, or you don't have that flexibility, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and plan out a snack. Have half a bag of popcorn for 200 calories. It's absolutely fuck all. Plan a toasted ham and cheese sandwich. Have something to be like, right, 4 o'clock or 3:30 or whenever it is that you feel like you can get just like 10, 15 minutes, or even just something that you can snack on, or a protein bar or some pork crackling or whatever the fuck it is that you want. Plan that out and put it in. So when you get hungry, you say, this is my snack that I'm going to have. And if you get hungry at 2, you go, okay, let's turn this into a game. How do I make this more interesting? Can I hold on until 2:15 to have that? Because then that'll do this. It'll take me to 2:30. And then when I get to 2:30, it's only half an hour before 3 o'clock. And that's when I'll have my tea. And then that's when this and this. Okay, I'll get to 2:15. And because you've set it as a bit of a challenge to yourself, because you've set it as this thing, that may increase. Oh my God, I'm going to get a reward when I finish this thing. 45 minutes may go by. And then you go, oh shit, yeah, that's right. I forgot I was going to have this. Because you had that challenge, you had that thing that you could focus on, and it gave you that dopamine hit. It gave you the thing that you could really put into words, Travis. It's not happening. It's not going into words. Plan and schedule things, it makes it so much easier. And you can turn it into a challenge. You can turn it into something to be like, right, I just need to get to this point and then I can eat. I just need to focus on this and then I can eat. and the food noise is still going to be there because it's going to be, oh my God, I'm fucking bored. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You almost get angry at yourself. You'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm going to do this. And once this is done, just this first thing right here, once this is done, then I can have my food. And you start doing it, maybe you get on a roll and you start doing it. And that's what we're looking for. Even if not, and the food noise stays there, you are still holding yourself accountable for the routine, the schedule that you have put in place of, I want to do and eat this way. I want my, what I talk about with my clients is circadian rhythm. I want my natural hunger hormones to basically kick in and go, right, you're hungry at 12 o'clock because this is when you normally eat. You're hungry at 4 o'clock because that's when you normally eat. If you regularly schedule your meals, you will start to notice that you get into a cycle of just normal routines. Oh my God, my thingy, TikTok thing froze. There you go. Can't believe I've never had to invite that. There you go. So yeah, you'll get into that routine and your body will start regulating your hunger hormones and your hunger cues for you so that at breakfast, lunch, dinner, whenever you typically eat, your body's just going to say, you're hungry now. And it's not going to worry about it. So if you look at, for example, if you eat at 7, 12, let's just say 3, and then 6. If you eat during those four times, over time, let's just say 4 weeks, 28 days, or a month. If you do that for just 4 weeks of just having those meals at that time, at the end of that month or the start of the next one, you'll start to notice you get hungry at those times, at 7, 12, 3, and 6. Then if you get hungry at 10 in the morning, you can go, why am I hungry? Everything else has been the same. Maybe my breakfast wasn't as many calories or it wasn't as protein filled, or, oh, that's right, I didn't eat dinner last night until, you know, I didn't eat dinner at my normal 6 o'clock. I ate it at 4 o'clock. So that's 2 hours difference. Okay, well, maybe it's just that. Maybe I just need to hold on to lunch. And it takes out a lot of variables and you can just focus on, okay, cool, this is what I know is the issue. Instead of going, why am I so hungry? What's going on? Am I bored? Am I thirsty? Am I this? Am I that? Which is, again, Simply Happy Healthy, why I built it. That's what we're going to be running through, is how do you manage all of your symptoms in just a super simple way to just go, this is the one thing I need to focus on. That's all I need to do. Instead of having to question yourself a million times over. And that's what I did for myself pre-medication. And I didn't realize how handy it would be for all the clients that are coming on board now to be like, hey, I struggle with all of the things that you struggled with pre-medication for all of those years. How do you get over that? It's like, well, here's the 27 things that I did to help me with it. And obviously there's people on different ends of like what dosage they need for medication, or people that are, I suppose, have minimal symptoms compared to like maximal symptoms, whatever the fuck that means. But it all just works out in the sense of keeping it simple. Focus on you, the individual, and what's going to work for your lifestyle. Put shit in place that is going to help you get the goals that you want in a really simple way. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You'll probably still yell at yourself and argue with yourself that you should or shouldn't be doing these particular things. But yeah, that's really what we're here to do, and that's what we're doing. So yeah, one thing I will say before I call it is, if you are meal prepping or meal planning, for the love of God, plan for taste first. It's a lot easier to optimize for health in terms of calories or protein or macros or fiber or anything like that, or even just micronutrients of how colorful is it? Where are the veggies? Where's this? Where's that? Don't think about the healthiest thing that you can add in or that you can have for food. A lot of people go, right, this is not working for me right now. I need to really get my shit together and start eating healthy. And they go to the 100% healthy and they start having like the oats, the acai bowls, the all of these things that takes a lot of prep work, but hey, it looks colorful and healthy. And for a couple days in there, 3 to 5 days, they're like, I'm on top of the world. This is fucking amazing. If it works for you long-term, fantastic. But a lot of people are not like that. A lot of people need really basic and simple things to just say, right, what do I have for breakfast? I'm having toast at the moment. Sweet, have the toast, chuck 2 eggs on there as well. Okay, obviously take the peanut butter or Vegemite off, or chuck it on there and experiment. I don't really care. But have 2 eggs on there as well. Okay, maybe that's going to be super simple. Maybe you have your toast, but add a protein shake in. Little things that as to what you're already doing for taste, I would much rather clients have a suboptimal diet, at least at the start. I would much rather them have a suboptimal diet in terms of calories and, I suppose, just like how healthy, quote unquote, it looks, because they're actually eating food. They're not skipping meals. They're building their circadian rhythm. They're building their, I have this for breakfast and then lunch and then dinner. They have food that they are eating. And I would much rather that, because we need fuel to do the things that we're going to do, like go to the gym, lift heavy shit, and just be happier. That's going to help a lot more people planning and prepping for taste to then go, okay, well, if I'm having these three things for breakfast, lunch, dinner, how do I make it, like, I'm hungry at like 2 o'clock. Okay, maybe you just need a bit more protein. How do we get more protein in what you're having? You don't need to change the meal. You can just add one thing in. For example, the breakfast with the toast, have a protein shake instead. 200 calories, 24 grams of protein, sweet. Maybe you like that. Maybe have the two eggs instead, which will be like 170 calories and 12 grams of protein and pretty good amounts of fat. Like the good fats, not like they don't have it because it's mainly made out of fat. It's actually really good fat. For dinner, maybe you get those microwavable bags of veggies and chuck them in there and then just fucking pour sauce over the top of it, or you mix it into your mashed potato, or you just whatever. Treat yourself like a fucking kid that you're trying to fool, because this is all shit that I did. Dice up the veggies incredibly small, put them through a sauce so that you can't taste them or the texture doesn't fuck with you, but you're still getting the micronutrients from it being in the dish, but you just can't really taste it because you've diced them up to almost a fucking gas form. Dice them up, mix them in there, because we're looking at the things that you're already doing and we're just stacking one thing on top of it to say, yep, have your normal parma for dinner, but chuck this microwavable thing of veggies in there, pour some sauce over the top and just smash them first and then go in and have your normal meal. Then we're starting to focus on the vitamins and minerals. Then we're starting to focus on get the protein in. You can see how it's going to start compounding. But if you go 0 to 100 and you just focus on pure health, it doesn't leave a lot of space for, well, how do I have a palmer? How can I have this? It can start building the good and bad food mindset of, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. There wasn't many veggies in it. There wasn't this. There wasn't that. Because what's going to happen when you fall off? You're going to go back to doing what you do anyway. So let's just take what you do, structure it, and make sure it's tasty and you can stick to it, because then you don't need accountability. It's like, yeah, what I eat is boom, boom, boom. Oh, thank fuck. We don't have to talk about how breakfast is one of the most important meals for you, how it's going to start your day off with decreasing anxiety by doing this, by having more energy so that you can focus. You're not waking up at 1 o'clock. You're actually waking up after breakfast. I don't have to run through any of that shit. I can just go, sweet, let's add this one thing in for breakfast and just do that for this week, see how it goes. How did it go? Oh, it was amazing. Sweet. Let's do this one thing for lunch for this week and see how it goes. How was that? Yeah, it was pretty shit. Okay, cool. Let's take that out, put something else in. How did that work for lunch? Sweet. That was awesome. So by the end that we do 6 to 8 weeks, let's just say, you're living, I hate to say this because it sounds infomercially, you're living a simply happier and healthier life. Because you've just taken what you've done and made it healthier, and it works for you because you've been doing it for however many years. And it's just one thing that we focus on each week. And you've fixed a majority of issues that you've been having. How am I going to stop snacking? How am I going to feel fuller? How am I going to make sure I do all this? Just do this one thing for this week and see how you go. How did that go? It was pretty easy. Cool, keep doing it. Do you feel like you can do the next thing? Yeah, that was pretty easy. All right, cool. Let's do the next thing. Keep it simple. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means it's simple. And you don't have to use as much mental energy to argue yourself into doing it. So that's, I suppose, the ADHD podcast. If anyone has any questions with this, if you liked it, if you resonated with it, then leave a review. Let me know wherever the fuck you listen to it. Do all the fun stuff that people say when they're like, hey, please engage with this. Because, I mean, honestly, yeah, please engage with it. Like, share, comment, or even just DM me on Instagram or even TikTok if you want to. And let me know if you've got questions on any of this stuff, or if you've just got questions for me in general based on where you are in your life and if I've had clients that have experienced similar things and how I coach them through it. So yeah, that is it for us. What am I trying to say? I don't need to talk about Simply Happy Healthy because it's already out. We're already doing that. If you missed out, that's unfortunate. If you're already in, because at the time of recording, we've got 5 people that are in, and it's going to be fucking amazing. If you're in, thank you so much for signing up and trusting me with your health and your mindset and helping you shift the perspectives of everything that you're wanting to do. I'm not sure if I'm going to be running another intake, because I will have to run it basically starting the day after we finish this 10-week thing, because that takes us up to our Christmas break. I know I'm already marketing and looking at Christmas because that's how planned out the year is and where the programming is going to go. So yeah, people, like if you sign up now for 6 month transformation program, that'll take us into 2025. That's where we're at. So we're almost in the 8th month of this year. By the time that you listen to this, we're a couple days out from being in August. And if you sign up for 6 months, we're going to be working until February at least, one-on-one with your health and your mindset and everything. Otherwise, for people that are in Simply Happy Healthy, thank you so much for choosing and trusting me. It means a lot. As you would have seen in the welcome email, if you read the welcome email, by you signing up and basically supporting this program and giving me the feedback and how to make it better, you're supporting my dream lifestyle because this is what I want to be doing. So I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you get your dream lifestyle. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening. I can tell that I'm rambling, so I'm going to cut it there. I'll see you in the next one.